We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha, joy, happiness. And in this shiur, we're going to address it, hopefully based on two chapters in Likutei Moran. The first one is chapter 282 in the first half of Likutei Moran, which is possibly one of the most often quoted and best known teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And the second one, we're going to be entering into the second half of Likutei Moran, Mitzvah Shem, chapter 2 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Again, the main thing that we're trying to learn in these shiurim is how important simcha is in Yiddishkeit and what a person can do to attain simcha and to maintain simcha at all times, under all circumstances. The Likutei Moran consists of about 400 of the major shiurim of Rabbi Nachman. Out of all 400, there's one that he said to his students that I want you to make sure to carry this with you wherever you go. This is what you have to have with you at all times. And this is the chapter we're going to be speaking about right now, this Torah, Resh Pei Beis, chapter 282. He begins by saying that we have to judge every single person favorably. Even a person who is a complete Rasha, we as Jews have to have the ability to search and find something good in that person, whereby in that aspect of good of that person, he's not a Rasha. Regarding that particular item, he's not evil. And by being able to find that good point in the person and thereby be able to look at him in a positive way, not that we're ignoring or denying the bad. We know that this person has done many bad, terrible things. But we're not going to allow ourselves to label the person as bad, period. Because we know that Hashem is called Toiv. Hashem is called good. There's a pasuk in Ashrei that we say every day, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Hashem is good to all, and Hashem is good in everything. In Shmon Esrei we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaToiv Shimcha. Your name is Toiv. And the Tikkuni Zohar tells us that if we take the most basic name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we take it in Mispar Koton. Mispar Koton is one of the formulas that's used most in the Tikkuni Zohar, where we drop the zeros, where 10 is not called considered 10. 10 is 1. 20 is 2. 22 would be 2 plus 2 would be 4. So if we take Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud is 10 in Gematria. In Mispar Koton, it's 1. He is 5. 1 and 5 is 6. Vav is 6. Again, we have 6 plus 6 is 12. And the last he, 5, is 17, which is Bigimatria, the word Toiv. So the Zohar HaKadosh says this is one of the reasons why we say that Hashem is called Toiv. This is the name of Hashem is Toiv. And we know that everything in existence comes from Hashem. So that everything has to have Toiv in it. Everything. We know the Gemara gives an example of Dovid HaMelech, who at one point in time couldn't understand, couldn't see the good in two different things. One was a spider web, and the other one was insanity. Insanity. What could be good about a person going insane, crazy? And the Gemara says that Hashem showed him through two of the most important experiences in his life, where David HaMelech's life was in jeopardy, and one time he was saved through a spider web, and the second time he was saved by being able to not plea insanity, but by being able to act insane. These stories appear in the Navi. They're famous stories. We're not going to go into it right now. But here, Dovid HaMelech, this great tzaddik who was so close to Hashem, the Torah tells us that even for him, it was difficult to look at certain things that Hashem created and be able to see the toiv in it. And Hashem made it perfectly clear to him that there is toiv. The Shiloh HaKodesh points out the next major holiday that's going to be coming is right now we've passed Tu B'Shvat and we're headed towards Purim. And we know that in Purim you have two extremes. We have a tzaddik and tzaddikis. We have Mordechai and Esther, who are listed in history among the two greatest tzaddikim of all time. The Arizal goes so far as to say that in the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, in the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachmim, one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachmim is Rav Chesed. Kel, Rachum, Vechanun, Erech, Apayim, Verav Chesed. The Arizal says that Mordechai, the word Mordechai, is Bigimatria Rav Chesed. Because this tzaddik Mordechai was so special, so great, he was able to tap into this incredible description of Hashem. Not just kindness, but Rav Chesed, a multitude of kindness, to be able to rescue and save the Jews from complete annihilation, which is what we deserved at that time. The Gemara gives all kinds of reasons why the Jewish people unfortunately had fallen so far down that we just about deserved to be wiped out. And the merit of Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther HaMalka not giving up, not quitting, and being able to see the good in the Jewish people at that time, even though they participated in the Suda of Achashverosh, even though they bowed to Tzelem, all the different reasons that the Gemara gives to show why we fell to such a low point, Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther HaMalka never lost faith in Hashem and in Klal Yisrael. And because of the fact that they were able to see the good in Bnei Yisrael, even at that time, they were able to defend the Jewish people to Hashem, and they were able to win, to score a victory, not just a victory to save the Jewish people from annihilation and destruction, lahashmid laharoy guliabed, but to turn it around completely, where the Gemara, the Pasuk says, verabim me'ame ho'oretz misyahadim, that thousands of non-Jews converted and joined the Jewish people, ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleim, because the awe and the respect of Mordechai fell upon them. They saw the greatness of this tzaddik, Mordechai HaTzaddik and Esther HaMalka. That's on one end of the pendulum. On the other end, we have the wicked scoundrel, Haman Harosha, whom the Torah describes some of his ugliness, his arrogance, a person who could actually appreciate having people bow down to him and worship him. The Megillah tells us that they literally bowed to him, all the people in the kingdom of Achashverosh, and even in the palace itself. And this Haman had kaas, he had anger, chema, vayimolei homon chema, which the Torah describes as the worst of the worst. You have gaiva, you have kas, and you have a person who is so ugly that despite the fact that everybody is bowing down to him and he's wealthy and he has kids, he's got everything, because one Jew isn't willing to bow down to him, he's willing to risk everything and to go against Mordechai HaTzadik, to go against the Jewish people, to see if he can wipe him out, if he can destroy, because he couldn't take the fact that there was one person who wasn't bowing down to him. This is how evil and wicked Haman was. And the Torah tells us it's obviously based on his ancestry. Haman comes from Amalek. And Amalek is described as Rashis Goyim Amalek. The Sifrei Kabbalah describe Amalek as a composite. Each one of the 70 nations has some kind of a negative characteristic, a Midoro or a Taivoro that they represent. We know that when Hashem was offering the Torah to the different nations before he offered it to Bnei Yisrael, he offered it to one nation and they refused it because the Torah says not to kill and we are all about murder. He offered it to another nation They said, what does it say? It says not to commit adultery. Said, we can't accept it because we are adultery. That's what we're all about. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that each one of the 70 nations represents a different taivara or midara. Amalek is a composite of all 70 put together. The ra, the evil and wickedness of all of them put together. And yet, the Sforim, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says in Gittin, Mibnei Bonov Shel Homon Lomdu Toira Lebnei Yisrael, that from the descendants of Homon came forth people, rabbis, who taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Prince would say, how could that be? We know that Amalek is considered, Hashem's instructions, Hashem's attitude to Amalek is wipe out men, women, children, don't leave any trace at all. And here the Gemara shows that there were traces, and some of these traces resulted in rabbis who taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael. This is the wording in the Gemara. The Shiloh HaKodesh points out that the Gemara tells us, Homon min ha-Torah minayin. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin. We know that everything in the Gemara, everything in the Navi and the Gemara, has to have a source in the written Torah, in the five Chumashim. So the Gemara tells us, where do we see Mordechai? Where do we see a hint to Mordechai in the Torah? And the Gemara says, in the Ketoiris. The Ketoiris, which was the holiest korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the 11 special spices, one of them was known as Mor Deroyer, and the Targum, the Aramaic translation of Mor Deroyer is Mordechai. So the Gemara says this is where we see Mordechai HaTzadik hinted to in the Torah. The Gemara asks, where do we see Homon hinted to in the Torah? And the Gemara in Chulin mentions the Pasuk Hamin Ho'etz, when Hashem said to Adam and Chava, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to? Hamin Ho'etz, from that tree that I told you not. The word Hamin is Hei Mem Nun, Homon. So we see Homon appearing in the written Torah also. The Shiloh HaKodesh says that the Ketoiris is the holiest sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. It reaches up to the highest. It reaches up and activates the highest level of kindness of Hashem. We know that whenever there was a plague, a destructive plague, where Hashem's anger, Hashem's wrath was let loose, Aaron HaKohen brought, Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron HaKohen, run quickly and bring Ketoiris. The Zohar HaKodesh tells a story of the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that they once in a city, and a terrible plague broke out that was killing people. And they said, let's read the Parshas HaKetoiris, even though at that time there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. They said that we'll read the Parsha of the Ketoiris, and this will be an antidote to this Magefa. So we find Mordechai in the Ketoiris. The Shiloh HaKodesh says that Homon is also found in the Ketoiris. The word chelbana, we know that one of the 11 spices had a terrible foul smell. And yet when it was put together with the other 10 spices, the entire thing was reach nichoyach l'Hashem. It brought up a sweet aroma to Hashem. A nachas ruach, a satisfaction to Hashem. The Shiloh HaKodesh says the word chelbana is bigimatria homon. And he says this is the remez to what the Gemara says, that Mibnei Bonov Shel Homon taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael. That this Homon Amalek, who if a Jew ever had to give an example of something that's all bad, totally evil, even there we see that because Homon Amalek is also a creation of Hashem, there has to be some nekudah, some aspect of good there. This is the most extreme example you could possibly have. Therefore, coming back to us, lahavdil elef alfei havdolos, if we're talking about within the Jewish people, Rabbi Nachman tells us, Rabbeinu Zal tells us, you can't possibly disqualify anybody as being all bad. You have to be able to search and look at a person and be able to see that there is some aspect of good in that person. And when you recognize that good in that person, by doing that, you're able already to connect them to good, to move them, to elevate them to a position of merit, and thereby bring that person to tshuva, and thereby be able to help that person do tshuva. This is alluded to in a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, "V'oid me'at ve'ein rasha," just a little bit, a tiny bit, and he's not evil. "V'hizboinanto an mekoymoi," and you'll look at that person's status, you'll look at that person's position, "Ve'einenu," and he's not there. And Rabbi Nizal explains to us that this pasuk is warning us and teaching us to try to be able to find merit and good in every single person. Even if you see that this person has tons and tons, thousands of sins, and all kinds of terrible things about them, you have to search for and find that little bit of good in which that person is not a rasha. And when you find that, that's this oid ma'at, that just a little bit of good, the ein rasha, where in that ma'at the person is not a rasha, v'hizboinantal mekoymoi, you'll study the place where that person was at before, and you'll see v'einenu, he's no longer there. That by you identifying and focusing on that aspect of good of the person, you move that person, you change that person's position. He's no longer where he was before. What do you mean? He didn't do tshuva yet. So what? This is the beginning of tshuva. Rabbi Nizal says, in order for a Jew to start the process of tshuva, if a person is labeled as all bad, they can't possibly repent. The moment that a Jew is able to look at another Jew and be able to take off that label of bad and be able to recognize something good in that person is already moving. That person is no longer where they were before. The tshuva process has started. And then if you follow through, if you try to speak to that person, be makar of that person, with Hashem's help, you'll be able to succeed. Rabbi Nizal says this doesn't just apply to other people. This applies to yourself also. Because this is where the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, tries hardest to get a person to judge themselves negatively, to be able to feel that I'm no good, I'm a failure, I can't succeed, I failed so many times, I've done so many terrible things. When a person's in that frame of mind, the Yetzirah knows that person won't daven, that person won't pray with any kind of kavana, that person won't be able to do any mitzvah in any meaningful way. Because when a person's in that frame of mind, that leads to depression, and that takes the person as far away as the person could possibly be from Hashem. The Gemara says that the spirit of Hashem, holiness, will not associate with a person when a person's in that frame of mind, when a person's depressed, sad. So Rabbi Nizal says that a person has to look at themselves and be able to find good inside themselves, and thereby be able to push away and reject those negative feelings, that depression, that failure, that I'm no good, to be able to get all of that as far away from yourself as possible. And he says that even when a person starts examining themselves, a person makes a cheshbon hanefesh, an accounting, and they see, I'm making a list of everything I did today, and I'm not able to find one good thing. And everything I said today was wrong. And the person goes down the list, and it's not just today. It's for weeks already that I haven't been able to accomplish a single good thing. Or everything is bad, no good, it's all darkness. Rabbi Nizal says a person has to search and find something good. He has to be able to find something good about himself. The Gemara tells an incredible story about a person who brought his wife to a rabbi. And he said to the rabbi, "She's the worst I've ever come across, and she's probably the worst you'll ever come across." The rabbi said, "Really? What's she? Can you tell me about her?" And the Gemara says he started going down the list and listing one thing. Each thing was, it got worse as he continued. This terrible, this worse. What? The rabbi heard it all and he said, "Anything else?" "Nope. Said everything." The rabbi said, "Do you have anything, what's anything good possibly you can say about her?" He said, "No, definitely not." Finished. Checkmate, right? Wrong. The Gemara says, the rabbi asked, "What's her name?" And the man said, "Her name is," and her name meant something terrible, bad. The rabbi said, "You see, we discovered something good about her, that the name describes the person accurately. Her, the name fits." This is a funny, strange, but the Gemara, this is the Torah, this is the word of Hashem that's teaching us that in any situation, in any circumstance, if you believe in Hashem, if you believe in the tzaddik, you will be able to find something good. And the minute you find that, you've saved a life, whether it's somebody else or your own. Rabbeinu Zal says that the vast majority of people who fail in Yiddishkeit or who fail in life, it's because they didn't listen to what we're saying here. They didn't take this seriously. They didn't force themselves to be able to identify something good and be able to grab onto that like a lifeline, like a rope. A person's drowning. He's in an ocean, a huge ocean that's miles of water and sharks. It's got a billion ways to kill the person, to drown the person. And we know that you throw that person a string, a cord, a nylon cord that's a millimeter, you know, 2 millimeters thick. The person grabs onto that cord, he's saved. He's saved. The water can't hurt him. The sharks can't hurt nothing. You can pull him out and save him from this huge, huge destruction, this huge place of destruction. So too regarding us. If a person can recognize, can focus on that nekuda toiva, can find a good point and grab onto it like a raft, like a life raft, and then go further and search for another good point and find another good point, Rabbeinu Zal says that's how you make a song. Songs, those who study music, people who don't know much about music, they hear a song and they know the song to be just one flow. They don't know that any song you take is made up of individual notes. It's like dots and dashes, Morse code. Those that study music know how the notes appear. It's little dots, tiny dots that appear on the line. When you read music, it's tiny dots, a dot here, a dot there. And again, making music, making a song, requires taking a note from here, taking a dot from here, and then skipping two dots and going to a dot on the fourth line, and then going down three dots, because again, you're choosing a note, and then the second note, and third note, and they're not necessarily in order. Sometimes you're jumping from one to one, which means you know that you have to leave out certain notes. If you include all the notes, it's not going to make any music. The whole beauty of the music is selecting the good notes from the bad notes, selecting the good from the bad, extracting those notes, and that forms a song. And Rabbi Nachman says that's the pasuk Azamra Leloikai Ba'oidi. We mentioned the pasuk before, Oid Ma'at Ve'ein Rasha. That little bit of good, Oid means just Ma'at, just a drop, and no longer a Rasha. We have another pasuk that says, I sing to Hashem, Azamra Leloikai, I sing to Hashem Ba'oidi, with that just, with that little drop. If I'm able to follow this advice and look for a little bit of good, and then another little bit of good, even if it's a drop and a drop, that forms a song. That gives a person the ability to sing and to pray to Hashem. And the minute a person can sing, When a person is singing this kind of song, a song that's made up of good points, we know that there are songs that take people out, Rahmana Litzlan. There's blues, there's music. In the world, there's music that brings a person down, that puts a person, chas v'shalom, into depression. We're talking here about a music that's comprised of good, of joy, of positive things. That kind of music is what prayer is all about. When we speak about Dovid HaMelech, is called Dovid HaMelech, who wrote the Sefer Tehillim. Dovid HaMelech, who's an example of a deep-fried Jew. Rabbi Nazal once said, Ichoblib agepregel te yid. I like a fried Jew. Meaning, I like to see a person who's really been through the ringer, as we say, who's been through a lot, and is still Jew, still believes in Hashem, still holding on, hanging in there, still doing the right thing. Out of all the tzaddikim in history, Dovid HaMelech is in a very unique position. There are things that he went through that no other tzaddik even went through. The fact that his family, he wasn't even considered part of the family. They considered him one of the sheep. When Shmuel HaNavi was sent by Hashem to find from the sons of Yishai who would be the one to take over as king to replace Shaul HaMelech, he told Yishai, let me see your sons. And Yishai brought the oldest, and then the second oldest, the third oldest, brought all his sons. And each one, Hashem gave a message to Shmuel HaNavi. No, not this one, not this one. And then Yishai said, okay, that's it. That's all my sons. Shmuel HaNavi said, you mean you don't have any more? He said, not really. You sure? Oh, yeah, we have this one, but he's with the sheep. Like we consider him one of the sheep because he's always out there with the sheep. That was Dovid HaMelech. And he was brought in, and sure enough, that was the one who Hashem told Shmuel HaNavi to anoint as king. And this Dovid HaMelech, this super tzaddik, comes and saves Shaul HaMelech when the Jews were waging a battle at the time and Goliath was insulting the entire Jewish nation and especially Shaul HaMelech, and everyone was petrified. No one was brave enough to stand up against him. And Dovid HaMelech volunteered to go take on Goliath and defeated him and thereby saved the kingdom of Shaul HaMelech. And saved the Jews at that time and was repaid with the opposite. Shaul HaMelech went after him to kill him. And then Shimi ben Gera. And then his own son, Avshalom, tries to take over the kingdom, starts chasing Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech has to flee the palace and flee the kingdom, flee the capital, running for his life from his own son, Avshalom. And one after another, and the Torah tells us that Dovid HaMelech is known as the Ne'im Zemirois Yisrael, the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael, because he knew this message. Dovid HaMelech wrote the Sefer Tehillim, which had in it this message, this secret of the Oid Ma'at Ve'ein Rosho, Vizboinanta Al-Makoy Ve'enenu. He was able to find the good in everyone, including himself. When the Yetzirah tried to make him feel like an outcast, when they wanted to disqualify him as a Jew because he comes from Moav. The rabbis, the Av Bezn, Doeg HaDoimi, wanted to paskin that Dovid HaMelech, not only isn't he qualified as a king, he doesn't qualify as a Jew. We don't take converts from Moav. Even though this was a mistaken interpretation, the Gemara says, Moav Eloi Moavis. We don't take from the males of Moav, but from the females we do. Dovid HaMelech came from Rus HaMoyavia. This Dovid HaMelech was able to hold on because he had this secret, this Oid Ma'at Vein Rosho, this Boinant Al Makoimo Veinenu. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us that a person who follows this advice, this will help the person be able to sing the right kind of songs and be able to be Mispalel to Hashem. And even though the person knows that they've done many terrible things and many sins and that they're very far from Hashem, the person will be able to find a way to be happy with each one of those good points. And when he does that, he'll be able to pray to Hashem and to praise Hashem, and he'll be able to get out of whatever kind of yirida, whatever kind of nefila he's in. And this is this secret of Azamro Lolekai Bioidi. I sing to Hashem with this drop of good that I find in myself. On this chapter of Likutei Moran, Rab Nosson Zal, Rabbeinu Zal's main student, opens his sefer, the Likutei Halachos, with pages and pages giving us examples throughout the history of the Jewish people regarding the Beis Hamikdash, some of the most important things in Yiddishkeit that all are based on this lesson in Likutei Moran. Im Yitz Hashem, when we finish going through this lessons of Likutei Moran and we get into the Likutei Halachos, we're going to cover Im Yitz Hashem some awesome discussions in Likutei Halachos that expound on this lesson and show us all kinds of different applications that we have throughout our daily service of Hashem, the holidays, everything, how it all ties into this special concept. Now we go to the second chapter in the second half of Likutei Moran. Here there's a very short piece where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Dibur, speaking. We know that the world is made up of different levels of creation. The lowest level is inanimate objects, Doimeim. Then you have the plants, Tzomeach. Then you have the animal kingdom, Chai. And then you have human beings who are called Medaber. The way the Torah refers to human being is one who speaks. Even though we know that there's a language of the animals, there's even a language of the trees. The Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech knew these languages, and there were rabbis in the Gemara who knew Sichas Dekolim, the language of the trees even. But the true definition, the true respect for the term Dibur, speech, is associated with human beings. Regarding human beings again, we have the 70 nations, the other nations, and we have the Jews. And we know that in our Shmone Esrei on the holidays, we say, Ato v'chartono mikolo amim, Hashem, you have chosen us from all the other nations. V'roi mamtonu mikol haleshoinois. You've elevated us from all the languages. We, the Jewish people, are privileged to have Loshon Kodesh, Loshon HaKodesh, the language of the Torah, the language that the Torah is written in, the Tanakh. This Loshon HaKodesh has incredible, incredible goodness in it. We know that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that there's everything in this, where everything in creation generally has a right and a left to it, a male aspect to it and a female aspect to it. One example of this is we have the concept of bracha, blessing. Bracha represents kindness. It's associated with the right side. The Kohanim, we know, were the ones who gave the bracha to the Jewish people. Kedusha, holiness, represents restrictions. For a person to be holy means a person who knows boundaries, who knows where not to look, what not to do, what you're not permitted to do. That's the Kedusha usually refers to Tzimtzum, restrictions, boundaries. We're told that Shabbos represents such a wonderful thing for Klal Yisrael because it's comprised of both of these. It's Yichud Bracha Kedusha. It combines blessing and holiness, the right and the left. We know that in the Kiddush that we recite on Friday night, we say, Vayevorech Elokim es Yom HaShvi, Hashem blessed the seventh day, Vayekadesh Oisoi, and He sanctified it. So that Shabbos has this combination of Bracha and Kedusha. One of the most important elements of Shabbos, of respect for Shabbos, is V'daber Dovor, that a person's speech on Shabbos, the Gemara says, has to be different from our speech during the weekdays. During the weekdays, a person can speak about mundane things, they can speak about work, parnosa, different things. On Shabbos, We're in a different place completely. During the week is a time of avdus, sheshes yomim ta'avoid, 6 days we work, and the word avoida is the same word that's used to represent eved, slavery. Slavery denotes depression, heaviness, atzvois, bezeya sapecho toich alechem, struggle, difficulty, unhappiness. And Shabbos is called the time of menucha, the time of rest, which is Shabbos is called, we find the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the Pasuk says, Vayoled ben, the father of Noach had a son, Vayikro shmoi Noach, and he called him Noach, Lemor saying, Ze yenachameinu mimaseinu ume itzvon yadeinu. This one is going to console us. This one is going to be the consolation from all of our terrible actions, ume itzvon yadeinu, and from our depression, from our struggle, that terrible struggle. The Sifrei Kabbalah discuss the concept of Eved and Bein. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say, when we speak to Hashem, we say, Im kibonim, im ke'avodim, rachmeinu. Hashem, whether you want to look upon us as your children, the Torah refers to the Jewish people as bonim atem l'Hashem alekechem, we are Hashem's children, or if you want to look at us as your servants, your slaves, either way, Hashem, please have rachmonis on us. Rabbi Nazal explains that this concept of eved and bein is the concept of the 6 days of the week versus Shabbos. Shabbos is Yom Menucha, like Noach. The Pasuk says, Vayoled Bein, he had a son, and he called him Noach. The Noach, Menucha, Shabbos, is referred to as Bein, which is the opposite of Eved, which is the opposite of that Itzvon Yodeinu. And on Shabbos, one of the ways that we show respect for Shabbos is this Vedaber Dovor, by watching what we say, by purifying our speech, by being careful not to say the wrong things, this Geder of Dibur. And it's this Dibur that also we call the language of the Torah, the language of the Jewish people, we call it Loshen HaKodesh. So it has Kodesh, it has Kiddush on one hand, and on the other hand, we know that this language is also blessed. We know that when the Kohanim were commanded to bless the Jewish people, the Pasuk says, Koi Sevorachu es Bnei Yisrael. This is, it doesn't say, Tevorachu, bless the Jewish people. It says, this is how you should bless the Jewish people. The Gemara says, Koi Beloshna Koidish. That the bracha, the real blessing, is in Loshna Koidish. And Rabbi Nazal tells us here in this chapter that to the degree that a Jew is Zoiche, to speak Loshna Kodesh, to speak Diburim of Kedusha, to speak words of Torah, words of Tefillah, or even if the person is, and these words are being said in Loshna Kodesh, the actual language of the Torah, or even if the person speaks other languages, but he's speaking Diburim of Kedusha, he uses the English language, for example, to express his love for Hashem, his gratitude to Hashem. A person has his Spoiledus in their own language. That's also referred to as Loshen HaKodesh. To the degree that a person is Zoicha to this Loshen HaKodesh, to speak words of Kedusha, the person is able to draw the beauty, the happiness and joy of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Remember, the Pasuk said that Noach was born, Vayoled Bein, Vayikro Shmoy Noach, they called him Noach, and they said, Ze Yenachameinu, this one will console us from the Ma'aseinu, from the Sheshes Yemei HaMaiseh, Umei Itzvon Yodeinu, and from the struggle. The 6 days of the week represent struggle, avdus, depression, unhappiness. Shabbos represents holiness, rest, no work, joy and happiness. If a person wants to be able to draw that light, that happiness and joy of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week, Rabbeinu Zal says the bridge is this Dibur, the Dibur of Kedusha. Rabbeinu Zal mentions the gematria, which we can't go into for now. Those that want more deeper insight into this will look in chapter 2 in the second half of Likut Imran, paragraph 2. Rabbeinu Zal mentions a gematria, Kel Elohim Hashem. He mentions the three names of Hashem that are associated with speech. As he explains earlier, Kel, Elohim, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, those are three names of Hashem that are associated with Dibur. And there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Kel, Elohim, Hashem, Diber. Rabbeinu Zal says these four words are Bigematria Simcha, showing that it's through this Dibur of Kedusha, a person watching what they say and making sure to speak Loshon HaKodesh, that the words that come out of their mouth should be with holiness and sanctity. This is one of the things that will help a person be zeichet to get out of any kind of depression, unhappiness, and bring a person into joy and happiness, not only on Shabbos, but throughout all 7 days of the week. Should be zeichet to understand the advice that's being given here, and be zeichet to fulfill it, and thereby achieve our own personal simcha, and then be zeichet to the simcha klolius of the entire Klal Yisrael, which will be with the Geula Shleima, with the coming of Moshiach, Binyan Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.